Welcome to episode 3 of Adventures with Jim. I'm your host, Jim Cannon. I am a competitive shooter and I live in Utah. I also own a gun shop called Next Shot Precision and I'm a full-time realtor. That's how I really pay for my hobby. A lot of you guys follow me on Instagram. I'm at 22LR Marksmen, M-A-R-K-S-M-E-N. I shoot 22s a lot, but I also shoot centerfire a lot too. So on Instagram, frequently I ask people questions. Sorry, I ask people to ask me questions and I answer those questions in the stories function. And I'm going to take a couple of those questions right now and kind of get a little more long form in my response. So the first question is from Caleb Paddock, Caleb.Paddock. He asks, do you find yourself shooting more steel case ammo these days? And the answer is kind of. I reload basically everything I shoot except for rimfire, of course, which actually that will change because I'm about to reload some really cool bullets from Cutting Edge Bullets for my 22s and just try those out, see how they go. Waiting on a couple of components though. But basically everything I shoot is reloaded, therefore it's brass. I think the one exception to that rule is I recently acquired a Maxim Defense PDX, and that's their personal defense X, I guess. That's a rifle that is very cool. It's basically an AR platform, but it's a 5.5-inch barrel and has this big old brake on the front. It's called the hate brake. It's kind of more of like a blast deflector. It kind of pushes the blast forward. It has a shortened bolt carrier, shortened buffer tubes. Buffer itself is shortened. Everything's kind of shortened and squatty. So when the brace, it's a pistol, is collapsed, it's something like 18 or 19 inches long. It's really, really small. And I have, red dot on it. I chose to buy one in 7.62 by 39 because ammo pricing, and I can load it, but primers are kind of hard to find. I have some, but I'm doing okay with that. But I just thought it'd be nice to just buy ammo that's not appreciated quite as much. I'm in real estate and I kind of watch trends and things like that. And what I've noticed is 9mm probably went from around 15 cents a shot for a pretty good deal up, and it went up to 60, 70, 80 cents a shot. 223 went from 30-ish cents up to 60, 70, 80 cents a shot. So 7.62, on the other hand, I bought 1,000 right before coronavirus kind of really took off about a year ago. And I think I paid around 250, 260 for 1,000 rounds. And it was just Tula or something. It wasn't anything special. But it went up to 39, 40 cents. So it didn't go up the same proportion as other calibers did. So I chose to get this rifle, the pistol technically, the 7.62 by 39 caliber in the Maxim Defense PDX. So that is the exception to me shooting all reloads is 22s, and that gun is all steel case. So yeah, it doesn't actually run perfectly. I think the Tula runs pretty well. It's almost perfect. I shot some wolf in it recently and I got a lot of stovepipes. So I'm going to diagnose that, see what I can do. Maybe if I just clean it out or get it kind of broken in, that may solve it. But we'll have to wait and see. Okay. Question from Winter Old Man 76. He asks, is there any difference between lead 22LR and copper 22LR for ammo and precision shooting? I'm going to assume something here. He's talking about copper plated or copper jacketed 22 ammo. You generally, it's plated in 22 long rifle, but yes, there's a huge difference. Typically the copper stuff, they're trying to kind of keep things feeding and working well and kind of put like a little hard shell around the outside. I used to be of the theory that the copper is good. It's going to make it consistent and it's going to shoot well. But the fact is any Olympian, any NRL 22 shooter, well, most NRL 22 shooters, probably over 99% of them, and anybody who shoots in any sort of bench rest discipline of 22 shooting, they're all going to shoot lead bullets. They're a little soft. They don't foul your barrel. They're way easier to clean out because we use pretty high end barrels in this, in these sports we shoot, for precision, and they're like a mirror finish inside, and you can just kind of wipe them out with a patch pretty easily. They clean out really fast, but the copper kind of acts more like a gold leaf where it kind of lays super, super flat, and you just can't really get it out without a lot of work or some chemicals. So, there is a difference. Thank you for your question, Winter Old Man 76. Question from Triggered 3. Tiggered 3. His question is, what do you think about the Ruger 1022 takedown? And, oh man, I've never owned one. I've taken them apart and I've played with them. I've shot them. I don't think I'll ever own one. And that, for that reason, is accurate guns are fun, and that's not an accurate gun. So there's some neat things you can get. Maybe I'll try one of these, but I think if I ever got one, I'd try to just buy the receiver end where there's the stock and the receiver, and then I'd get an integrally suppressed barrel or fore end for it. The reason for that is because the only one I've ever shot or seen shot, or the only ones I've ever seen shot or have shot myself, were very inaccurate. And I don't know if it was something to do with the, you know, the connection between the barrel end and the action end, or if it was just those I've shot, but I was very unimpressed. I mean, I think we were trying to shoot, you know, a piece of computer paper to get it zeroed, like, you know, an 8.5 by 11. And that was at 25 yards, and it would sometimes miss the paper and sometimes hit the paper. It was that bad, where we'll put 5 in 1 hole all day long with our, you know, nice match guns. So I think I'd probably lean towards just a regular 1022, or maybe something that you could do with a folding stock. I know that there's some chassis out there that you could kind of pistolize one or build your own and have a folding brace and make it a pistol. That would probably be the route I go. I don't think that the takedown is probably wise. I think that that interface between barrel and action is rather important, and I don't think I'd go that way. Thanks for your question, Tiggered 3. Keith Miller 12. He asks, any opinions of X bolts, good, bad, as well as 6.5 Creedmoor for entry level target / deer caliber? Well, Keith, I gotta say, I've been anti anything but Remington 700 footprints and maybe some Tikkas here and there. The reason for that is the aftermarket is way bigger for those. It's kind of like buying a Honda or a Toyota. You can always find parts for them that are actually quite nice, or maybe you'd liken it to a Jeep. But I haven't shot X bolts, so I can't vouch for accuracy. I've heard good things, but what I will tell you is they seem rather smooth. They seem well built. But for an X bolt, it seems like one you're going to get and you're going to leave it alone. Obviously you'll put an optic or a sling on it, but there's not a lot you can do with it. You're not going to upgrade the trigger. You're not going to maybe have a better stock you put on it. You're not going to, I'm just a guy that builds from the ground up always. So I don't like someone handing me a gun and saying, here it is, because I always, always change stuff. Even that Maximum Defense PDX I have, I'm changing the trigger because it comes with an ALG trigger. I can't remember the model, but it's about a $70 trigger and it's well over 6-7 pounds. It's just terrible. Not my style. So with a Browning, the X-Bolt specifically, it feels very smooth. The triggers are fine. They're okay. But like I said, there's just a limit to what you can do. I like the option to put a carbon barrel on it, and I could do that. I could hire a gunsmith to do that. But for me, the money you might spend on a greater model, like a Hell's Canyon or something a little more expensive, could very easily be put into a custom build, and you could get every little piece that you'd ever want. You could pick the barrel twist rate, the contour, the length. You could Cerakote whatever color you want. You could pick the muzzle brake or suppressor. You could just do everything you want, and it can be yours, and it's unique and kind of custom made for you and for what you want to do with it. Keith Miller 12, thank you very much for your question. The second part of Keith's question I wanted to address is 6.5 Creedmoor a good entry level or target slash deer caliber? Well, yes, it's actually a tremendous one. Obviously, we all have our own, you know, line in the sand, I'll say, when, you know, a 22 is not good enough, not just because it's not legal, it's because it's unethical. Same with, you know, other smaller calibers, and probably a 50 BMG is too much because it's just heavy and big and cumbersome. The 6.5 Creedmoor, I'm a huge supporter of in that scenario. I think the 6.5 PRC is another really good option if you can find ammo. Today is April 28th, and it's very hard to find anything to do with 6.5 PRC except for guns. Anyway, so 6.5 Creedmoor was developed. Hornady kind of publicized or made it what it is, and they've supported it with ammo that probably ranges from 120 to 147 grains. Hand loaders are going to be as light as 6.5 bullets get, and up to 156, I think, grain bullets, something like that. 155 and a half. Anyway, 6.5 Creedmoor for hunting purposes is tremendous. I probably would say keep it to 600 or 700 yards max. If you know your rifle, your load, where you draw the line as far as the energy on the animal, do your thing. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I will say a lot of people think that it's kind of a fad caliber. They think that's, you know, noobs or FUDs or something like that are into it. It couldn't be further from the truth. I think that the kind of fuddy, you know, old school guys are not into it because they're clinging to their 308. And the fact is a 308 can kill animals, of course. But if I could tell you that I could take your 308 and make it recoil less, shoot with less drop, so shoot flatter, shoot with less wind drift, and after about 120, 150 yards, have more energy on the target, would you want that caliber? That's a 6.5 Creedmoor, believe it or not. So all of you that love your 308, consider if you shoot out your barrel of your 308 or want to do a custom or rebarrel your 308, consider a 6.5 Creedmoor because it does everything the 308 does better, except if you're going to shoot an animal at 100 yards, which if you are, either one will have a tremendous amount of energy. Yeah, you're going to want to probably consider switching. The ammo is absolutely everywhere right now. It's just really taken the world by storm, or at least America by storm. So I fully support a 6.5 Creedmoor for hunting, even cow elk probably. I probably wouldn't do a bull elk, but the bigger brother to the 6.5 Creedmoor is the 6.5 PRC. For those of you who know what a WISM is, or a SOM, short action ultra mag, or a Winchester short mag, the 6.5 PRC is essentially a 6.5 SOM or WISM. It's in that wheelhouse. So it's a Magnum bolt face short action caliber, and it really hammers. It's pretty amazing. So that's a very popular round right now for hunters, and even guys who want to just shoot extreme long range. In fact, I think I saw on the King of 2 Mile, there's an ELR extreme long range competition called the King of 2 Mile. And there's a couple hundred competitors, but the number one used caliber, I'm not saying the winner, but the number one used caliber in that competition was the 6.5 PRC, because you can shoot a bullet that's 147 plus grains at around 3,000 plus feet per second. I own one that's a 28 inch barrel. It's a custom, custom made gun, 28 inch barrel, and my factory ammo, the 147 match Hornady ammo, is shooting about 3,050 feet per second, which is just an unreal combination. It's very flat, shoots, has a very high BC, and just keeps on going. So it's amazing. Anyway, Keith, thanks again for your question. This podcast is sponsored by my company, Nextrap Precision. We pride ourselves on sort of being like the sommelier in John Wick 2. Sommelier is known as the wine expert, but he's also the expert on firearms and shows John several options. and lets him dry fire guns and cycle the shotguns and things like that. And we want to be the sommelier for you. We are a small shop in Orem, Utah, where we specialize in long-range precision and AR-15 rifles. We can also get shotguns, pistols, suppressors, full autos, anything you need, we can get it for you. Give us a call. Our phone number is area code 385-374-0258. If there's a specific firearm you're looking for or want to dip into the custom market, please let us know. Next Shot Precision. The only shot that matters is your next shot. Beehive Ballistics asks, do you see house prices in Utah continuing to go up, level off, or crash? I thought I'd throw in a real estate question this time because I was, well, asked a real estate question this time. I'm a licensed realtor with RE/MAX Results in Orem. If you ever need to buy or sell a home, if you need advice, if you want to know your home's value in Utah, please give me a call. So my opinion on the question, if I think the prices will go up, level off, or crash, it's very hard to say. There's so many factors in this. I was licensed in 2007. I worked my butt off and I became the rookie of the year in 2008. I was awarded that award. And I think that the reason 07, 08, 09, that timeline was pretty rough was because you literally could have gone to a lender and said, hey, I make $10,000 a month. Give me a loan for $600,000. And they said, sure. And you go buy whatever you want. And the interest rate may have been 5-6%. But very quickly, you learn that you couldn't really afford the house probably because you could have lied about your income and there's no verification. They called it a stated income loan. So I think that we're in a good spot because everybody's been double and triple checked as far as their income goes. I think that COVID didn't hit us terribly hard. I mean, obviously March, April last year wasn't the best, but the number of homes sold is kind of hanging on. The inventory is next to nothing, but if you wait 4 days, you have a whole new inventory. So it's a very odd thing. I believe what's kind of hanging up everything, there's two things. One is building is kind of slow because they're having a hard time getting materials and those materials are very expensive. So they're asking more for the homes. The other thing is we have a lot of people moving from the West Coast. We're kind of a attractive spot when you compare the tax rate and the safety in crime rates and things like that. So I think that there's a lot going for us as far as keeping the values where they are. I would predict kind of a level off because I think once builders can actually get materials, once everybody's really back to work, everything will kind of, you know, the supply, like, seems like everything's out of supply right now, but that supply will be replenished. Prices will go down a little bit for materials. Builders will be able to go nuts and build. And then we'll kind of be able to level off and support the growth that Utah specifically is having. So I wish I had a crystal ball, but I'll tell you this, in 2019, there was a lot of people saying you should sell your home and go rent something for a couple of years and let this bubble pop. Well, if you did sell your home in 2019 and started renting a home, you probably lost $100,000 to $200,000 of equity. So crazy things can happen. So I think it's a good time to probably buy a rental property. If you have a home that you're happy with, it's a good time. If you have a whole bunch of cash sitting somewhere, you might as well let it grow because real estate's pretty safe investment. It's physical for one. You can actually rent out that investment, which I love. It's also just something that's tangible and visible and it appreciates typically very consistently. So that's my take. Thanks, Beehive Ballistics. I need to come see you guys. Thanks for your question. The next question comes from Guitars and Bass 88. He asks, suppressor suggestion. Looking for a rifle suppressor 224 to 308, pistol suppressor for a 9mm, and a .22 long rifle suppressor. Well, this is something I talk about almost daily at my shop. I will start with the 224 to 308 caliber. So actually, I'll first say you have already done something perfectly. We always suggest three suppressors for everybody. Well, there may be some other outliers, but generally speaking, probably 90% of the population should have a 30 caliber rifle suppressor. A 9mm is okay. It's fine now because it's so much more popular than the other calibers, but we used to say a 45 caliber just to cover all your pistols. If you really will never have a 40 or 45, obviously 9mm would be great. And then a 22 rimfire suppressor. So 30 caliber, a pistol suppressor, and a 22 rimfire suppressor. The reason for that is the 22 rimfire suppressor covers all of your rimfire. The 9mm covers all of your 9mm pistols. The 45 would cover all of your pistols generally. And then the 308 caliber rifle suppressor would cover basically all of your rifles. So generally they would cover something like 300 PRC and under, Win Mag, that kind of, they differ there. There's a little caveat to that, but generally a Win Mag, PRC, maybe 30 Nosler, something like that, and under. So something smaller like a 243 or a 6.5 Creedmoor would be no problem. Obviously 223, no problem. So specifically my suggestions, I'm a Utah resident and I'm influenced heavily by who's in my backyard, and Silencer Co. is a great option. If you're looking at Silencer Co., here's an option. The Silencer Co. Omega 300 is awesome. It's part of, I think, what people don't realize is what's included in that. It's $888. What's included is a ASR mount that you can change. So it has a direct thread mount installed on the suppressor. So it's a 5/8 by 24 direct thread mount that will screw right onto your, a lot of your hunting rifles or your AR-10s or your maybe 300 blackout AR-15s. But it also comes with this ASR mount that costs almost $200 for that piece. And then it comes with an ASR brake, and the ASR brake's also 5/8 by 24 generally with that suppressor. So you can put that on, for example, your AR-10, your hunting rifles, like I just said, and then you can quick detach the suppressor to that muzzle brake. That muzzle brake is around $90. The ASR mount is, I think, without looking, it's something like $150 to $200. I can't remember the exact cost. And then the direct thread mount itself, that costs, I don't know, $50, $60, $70, something like that. Don't quote me. I'm sorry. But you're getting a lot with the suppressor, and that whole kit is only $888. Where other suppressors, even the same brand, sometimes you're paying almost $1,000. For example, the new 36M, the Omega 36M, that one could be $950-ish, $980, something like that. That one only comes with the quick detach, the ASR mount, no brake, no direct thread mount, and it's more money. It's more money for reasons, of course. It'll handle 330 Lapua and it'll do 9mm and things like that. But if you're looking for a dedicated suppressor that's going to just do rifles, that Omega 300 is awesome because it comes with so many accessories and tools and things like that. There's the Dead Air Nomad L. I've really started liking that one, and that one's around $900 too. Like I said, what's included is, it has a range and there's the differences there. But the Nomad L typically comes with a direct thread mount only. That's 5/8 by 24. So if you're looking to do it on multiple calibers, a lot of your ARs or almost all your ARs that are 223 will be a 1/2 by 28 thread pitch. So that's something to think about, is you can get a different direct thread mount, but I like the ASR or a quick detach method because you can just put muzzle brakes or flash hiders on everything and just go from gun to gun. You don't need to change anything on the suppressor. You just take it off, put it on the next gun, and you're suppressed. So a 30 cal rifle can, there's a lot of really good ones. I could talk for hours about this, but those are two I really think are awesome. The Nomad is very simple. It just kind of is just it's a little bit bigger suppressor, but it's extremely quiet. The Omega just kind of does a lot of things, kind of modular. You can take off the anchor brake on the the muzzle end of it and put on a flat one, or you can change the aperture. You can put a 5.56 apertured hole, you know, where the opening's smaller. It can get just a touch quieter if you do that too. Okay, moving on to 9mm. Staying on the theme of local companies, the Omega 9K from Tanser Co., it's blown me away because it's very short and relatively narrow. It's not that big of a suppressor at all, and I'm shocked how quiet it is. It's truly an amazing suppressor. You can run it on a fixed barrel pistol caliber carbine, something like an AR-9, a SIG MPX, things like that. Or you can change it out and put on a pistol with a booster system so that your pistol will still operate. It has kind of like a spring. I'll go deeper into that in person if you'd like to talk more about it. But it works with pistols and carbines, so something that's fixed barrel. So that's a really great one. We've sold a lot of CGS. That's Chaos Group Supply. Sorry, Chaos Gear Supply. CGS has done some pretty amazing things. Lately they've released suppressors that are just breaking all the rules. And, I have their new Hyperion QD. That's a very big suppressor, but it's, arguably one of the quietest ever made. And it's also 3D printed titanium. So really innovative stuff coming out of them. And then, we end with the 22 caliber rimfire. I've been extremely impressed with, my Tanser Co. Sparrows. I've had them for years. I've cleaned them many times. My little trick is to maybe don't quote me on this, but I've put the clamshells and the core in a bath of CLR, calcium lime and rust, and I let it sit for an hour to a day, you know, something 1 to 24 hours, and it comes out looking brand new. It's amazing. So I don't know that they're going to recommend that. That's just what I've been doing and it works great. obviously dispose of that, legally and appropriately. That's some pretty nasty chemicals, but it's really quite an easy way to clean those. I believe that they're one of the quietest ones out there. They're almost certainly one of the shortest as far as like a full feature. There's really short ones that are really loud, but, it's only about 5 inches long and about an inch in diameter. And super easy to clean. One of the reasons I recommend the Sparrow is because in our Precision 22 competitions, if you're going to go carry your gun around muzzle up, and you have a baffle stack style suppressor where it basically is a whole bunch of cones stacked up on each other, that's a bunch of funnels. And what happens with that is all of the junk inside the suppressors will just trickle down and go down your barrel into your action and chamber and on your bolt and everywhere down your magazine. It's not a good move. So I've had it where, one of my precision rifles, I couldn't even cycle anymore. It was a bolt action and it just locked up completely. So that's not good. But the Sparrow, because of its design, it's a mono core. And so you can think of it almost like slashes instead of V's. Okay. So there's a slash going, you know, this way, that way. And then there's a hole right through all those. And so the low point on inside the suppressor is not the hole. The low point's like off to the left or off to the right. So it kind of captures all that junk pretty well. And, I've done it many times where on a cone style baffle stack, or they call it K baffles, everything just falls straight down and there's no stopping it. But on the Sparrow specifically, and I'll say others like it, there's others like that one, they are just very hard to beat. It keeps your barrel and your action a little cleaner because of that. I will say, I don't have a ton of experience with it, but the Rugged Obsidian, no, is that right? Rugged, oh my gosh, what is it? The Rugged 22LR suppressor. It's the Oculus, Rugged Oculus. That one's a very impressive suppressor too. At my last NRL 22 match that I host and shoot in, one of my squad mates had it on his gun and it was very impressive. I was pretty impressed by it. I think that one's north of $400, while the Sparrow's closer to $350 or so. It is also beautiful looking too. But I will also add the CGS Hydra is pretty neat too. They make that in, I think it's aluminum, and then there's a titanium version too, and they're 6 3/8 ounces, and then they're mid 2s and mid 3s in the pricing, but they're both largely the same suppressor, but the titanium / stainless one can handle any rimfire caliber, while the aluminum one is just 22 long rifle only. Probably 17 Mach 2 is fine too, but if you're just going to suppress 22, that Hydra would be really cheap and really good too. It's a great one. Okay, we'll have time for one more question. I want to keep this episode semi-short and sweet. The question is from so_lowlife. Do you think ammo will ever go back down? 2 years ago, 1,009mm was $200 shipped. Well, yes. Just like the real estate question, I think that supply determines value. Obviously, the demand has something to do with it too, but the supply, if it's replenished, drops the value. I'm sure the ammo companies are happy with what they're selling ammo for, and so they're selling a lot. They're making a lot. They're selling a lot. The problem is, once everybody's kind of content, it's going to fill every shelf and it's going to probably overflow every shelf. I believe gun shops, both physical and online, will probably overbuy with the hope that they'll sell everything for top dollar and double their money. But I think that what's going to happen is, partially, there was a video going around from Federal / Remington now. Well, I guess Remington / Federal now, where they were going through the bankruptcy process with the Remington mess, and their machines were shut off, it looked like, and now they're back up. So I think that that's going to have a huge part in improving ammo pricing. I also believe that there's clearly the administration in Washington is not helping things, and they're kind of causing panic and you know, frustrations and things. Every time that there's some talk of banning something, everything starts to sell, and they've kind of been tiptoeing around it for a long time. Clearly, we've had civil unrest, we've had coronavirus, we've had elections that were rather interesting, and now we have a new administration threatening things. So there's a lot of reasons why we should have a backlog, and I think that it's going to kind of calm down. I've already, in fact, seen evidence of it kind of calming down. I think ammo is slowly kind of relaxing. I think I've seen more calibers available lately. I've seen, you know, 9mm under 60 cents per shot. That kind of seems like it's been about the line I draw. Not that I've paid that, but I just think that if you see under 60, that's kind of been kind of a plateau for a long time, and now we're going down. So yeah, I have really high hopes. So thank you, so_lowlife, for your question. You're awesome. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Just want to remind you that I have a company called NextShot Precision, 385-374-0258. Recently, we built the rifle for someone in 2 days. It was a custom bolt action 6.5 PRC switch barrel and a 6BR second barrel. The previous gunsmith who had the action had it for 8 years. Can you imagine? We'll take care of you as quick as we can. We don't like stuff hanging over our head. Give us a call sometime, 385-374-0258. I'm also a realtor. I'd love to help you guys find or sell a home. My website is www.homestash.com. You can also follow me in my gun adventures on Instagram at 22LRMarksman. That's 22LRMarksmen. You can also email me sometime at 22LRMarksmen, so it's 22LRMarksman@gmail.com. You can also check out more information about my NRL 22 match that I run and shoot in at 22match.com. That's the number 22match.com. Come and shoot with us. It's a hoot. Thanks again.